and authority that God has because we are in Christ. I thank God for the privilege. I'm humbled each time I'm asked to share. But I was telling Ann before the service, it seems like I have these plans, and I want to share, and I think it's a great benefit to the body. And then it's like I get thrown out on this limb, and then Jesus is like he's smiling with a saw in his hand. And he's cutting the limb off. And it's over this canyon. And it's like, see how you can float. Let's see if you can walk now. So it's not my will, but God's. I believe, and last week I read so much. You were so patient with me, but it was downloaded, so to speak, to me that way. And this week it's been similar, but in a little bit different fashion. I believe God wants to minister to you so that he can minister more effectively through you. This is a time of refreshing in this church. Many of you have been walking through challenging times and attacks from the enemy, but the victory is here for you now. This is the refreshing. And if we could title this, that's what we call it, the refreshing. Look at the word refreshing. It means the process of becoming rested and regaining strength and energy. Isaiah 50, if you would. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. Verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear, as the learned, or as a disciple, one translation says. He alerts my ear as a student, one translation says. He awakens me to learn my lesson, one translation says. You and I have to develop the hearing ear. The hearing ear. Last week we talked about pondering and surrendering. Surrendering. And I believe we're moving out of weariness mode into victory mode. Today we're going to talk about three words, and very briefly, and you may have seen this on the 700 Club. I saw it again this week. But there was a minister on there, and he said a couple of these words, and it threw me. Like, oh my gosh, look. But there are three words. We looked last week at ponder and surrender. If I say ponder and surrender.
Ponder and surrender.
I want you to say this. Hear, see, obey.
Hear, see, obey.
I need to hear it, I need to see it, and I need to obey it. I need to yield. The way I obey is by speaking and acting. Look at the person beside you and say, speak like it and act like it.
Speak like it and act like it.
See, those are keys to faith. They help us enjoy an open heaven experience, which I could get into. There are levels of this I would love to get into, but I'm not permitted right now. Luke chapter 1, look at this with me. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. We're going to go back to what we were talking about last week. You know, I don't get to teach. I don't think since I've been here for 7 years, Pastor Scott's been gone 2 Sundays in a row. Or at least I haven't had the opportunity to share 2 Sundays in a row. And so it's been kind of nice. I've enjoyed it. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name is Joseph, and the virgin's name Mary. On entering, Gabriel greeted her. Stop right there. Listen. He greeted her. Everybody say, here.
Here.
Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. Now, husbands, God knows how to speak to women. So have you ever thought about, you know, as husbands, a lot of times we don't know what to say. You look pretty. You smell good. Well, what if one morning you looked at your wife when her eyes opened and your eyes opened and you said, good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you, dear. What she wouldn't know what to think.
Where's my husband and what you do with him?
And Mary had the same problem. Look at this. The King James Version, verse 29, says, and when she saw him, everybody say saw. See, she heard something and she saw something. She was troubled at his saying. She was disturbed or perplexed, like a lot of your wives might be. And cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. She's tossing it around. That word, that phrase can also be translated ponder. Yeah. Now we're back to that. Layers of pondering, by the way. She pondered in her mind. She's tossing this around in her head. What is this? She reasoned it in her mind. Now back to the message of verse 29. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering or pondering, which equals reason or debate. What was behind a greeting like this? What does he really want? Hello. Amplified says, didn't Addie do a good job? This is the first time I've ever done this like this. Thank you, lady. Just give her a clap. Yeah. Amplified, but when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said. And look at this, it kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. It was revolving in her mind. She was pondering. Okay, let's go to the next one. The original Greek, I'm a Greek scholar, but it means this, to go back and forth when evaluating. This is a different word than last week's ponder, right? Go back and forth when evaluating in a way that typically leads to a confused conclusion. The term implies one confused mind interacting with other confused minds, each further reinforcing the original confusion. And I immediately thought of me and you. One confused mind with a lot of other confused minds. But then I thought of this. God is about the author of confusion.
That's right.
So Mary's tossing this around her head. God wants you to have clarity. Everybody say clarity.
Clarity.
Oh, God, we're back to that lesson. We never have gotten ripped from October or whatever. It's clarity, unity, and action. It keeps coming back at me. So, if you do this, if you keep revolving these things in your mind, tossing them back and forth, everybody say tossing back and forth.
Tossing back and forth.
That can create weariness. So, an example. Richard Brothers gave us an excellent example of this when we went to the Nantahala last year or so. He went over a big rock, and there's a wave in the white water that's formed by the rock. Sometimes they'll come back, small waves, or big ones. This particular one was rather forceful, rather deep. It's called a keeper. This was a mild keeper. But what happens in a keeper is, when you get down in the water, the best thing for you to do is reach out. Because if you don't, the current will keep you rolling back and forth and in there. But if you spread your arms and the appendages, your legs out like this, it'll break the current. It'll break the pattern. And that's what Joanne mentioned to me this week. She said, that's what we got to do. When our minds, when we get this stuff revolving around our heads and the enemy is attacking us, we got to reach out to God, reach out to somebody with the word, reach out and break yourself out of the pattern. Look at the person beside you and say, break yourself out of the pattern. David encouraged himself, the Lord, in the midst of challenges. So now it's time to hear from your heart. See, you've been hearing words in your head and speaking those out. Now it's time to hear words in your heart and speak what it's saying. Believe and hear in your heart and speak with your mouth. The devil wants to confuse, but we have clarity, unity, and action, which also equals hear, see, and obey. That's what we're talking about today. Clarity, unity, and action. Clarity, my heart, hear. Unity, I see it, spit somebody, and I obey it. So Mary moved beyond her own thoughts and took on God's thoughts and his will in the matter. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Are you with me? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Look at the verse beside you and say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, you're encouraging each other with that all the time. And Mary said, there it is, she's saying it again. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She's obeying God. She's speaking it and she's acting on it. And the angel departed from her. One man said this: when God said it, he qualified you to do it. Right? When he said it, he said his word, and you're a believer, you're qualified to do it. When you said yes, he empowered you to do it. You get that? When you said yes to what he said that you're qualified to do, then he empowered you to do it. Luke 2:19 from the King James. But Mary kept and treasured, held them close. All these things. What things? I just threw my own notes there. Heard, saw, and experienced the result of her obedience. All these things. The angel coming to her, the Holy Ghost coming upon her. I mean, the shepherds coming in, the star, all the stuff. And what happened? She saw it. She heard it. She experienced it. And she pondered. Now we've got a different word. Everybody said, that's a different word. She didn't toss this back and forth. She consulted or conferred with herself. And get this, she didn't throw it back and forth. She threw it together in her mind. She pondered the word and threw it together in her mind. She couldn't figure it out in the natural, but she pondered in her mind. And she threw them together in her heart. God encouraged her in the process. She's not tossing around. Galatians 6:9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm going to tell you, now is the due season. Now is the due season. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. King James says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and times of refreshing shall come. Everybody say refreshing. Because we're talking about the refreshing. Look at the person beside you and say, you probably need to be refreshed. Now, I don't mean to take a shower. No, let's go on. Verse 19, Amplified. So repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. The times of refreshing or recovering, which the original meaning, Greek also means this, recovering from the effects of heat. Ooh, some of you have been under heat. And reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. That's why we've been praying that the presence of God would be strong here today. Because you need to be refreshed. The word refresh means to breathe easily again. Hence, refreshing, cooling, reviving with fresh air. The fresh air, the wind of the Spirit blowing today. It's up to us to raise ourselves and catch it. So I want everybody to stand up. If you would stand up. I said, I just got to sleep. That's okay. Everybody take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. And say this. We will not grow weary.
We will not grow weary
because we're infused,
because we're infused
with the life and strength of God.
The life and strength of God.
Greater is he that's in me.
Greater is he that's in me
than he that's in the world.
Than he that's in the world.
Psalms 23 verse 3 says this. It's not up there, Addie. Don't worry about it. He refreshes my soul, or rather, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. That word means refreshes. Renews, makes me strong and whole again. He restored my soul. When I was a kid, my mother made me learn the 23rd Psalm. It's a great thing to learn. Joey put a scripture on my desk yesterday. I love it. Addie, you don't have to find this. Does everybody just listen? Psalms 126. It's only six verses. We'll listen to it. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Today your captivity is being turned. We're turning it. You're turning it. We're turning away from the past of challenges that we've had. We know we'll face more in the future, but now we're battle-hardened. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Everybody say laughter. And our tongue was singing. Then they that among the heathen, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as in the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
He that goes forth weeping, goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious fruit, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, when I went to Bible school, let me tell you a story. When I went to Bible school, they told us this. They said, you will never have a problem finding examples for your lessons that you teach. Because the devil will see to it that you have plenty of examples. And I can add God and life. Let me ask you an interesting question. How many of you have ever gotten a finger or a hand caught in a power window on a car? Raise your hand. Anybody? Hands down. Now don't speak out loud. Just let me ask you, have you forgotten any other random body part caught in an hour window of a car? One other, two other people, okay. Have you ever gotten your lips caught in the power window of a car? I'm the only one? I have no idea. You know, I just said, God, I'll really be a good example for tomorrow. So I'm in, where Jerry and I are not driving yesterday, I'm in the little car. I've not stopped laughing over this. And the top is up, and there's not a lot of space between the top of the window, top of the door and the bottom of the roof. It's really kind of small. It's a midget car. So I'm sitting in the car, and I looked at him, and we'd stopped, and he was facing that way, and I was facing this way, so he was close to me. But he had his window up, and I'm trying to talk to him. And as I'm trying to talk to him, I'm getting ready to say something kind of smart to him. You've never done that before, have you? It wasn't the most edifying thing, but it was kind of funny and silly. But the power window controls are not on the door. They're in the middle of the car. And before I turned to look at him, I'd forgotten that I'd pulled up the window on the for the driver's side. And so I reach down and pull the window up and look at him and say, Jerry, and he can't hear me because his window's up. I said, Jerry, about that time, I felt something come up to my mouth. It went across my lip, went under my upper lip, between my lip and gum, and pushed my head against the top of the door with the head reeling. Now, this happened in a split second, but to me it was an hour. And I'm sitting, yes. And thank God I had the hand still on the window control and pushed it down. I could hear Jerry saying, don't give me no lip. And I could hear myself saying, my lips are sealed. Because loose lips sink ships. I could have said, well, shut my mouth. And God would have said, that's what I was trying to do. But you helped me out. Well, I guess we need a stiff upper lip. So, I looked up, what does that really mean, a stiff upper lip? One who has a stiff upper lip displays fortitude in the face of adversity. Isn't that what we're talking about today? I said, okay, God, do we really have to illustrate it this way? It exercises great self-restraint in the expression of emotion. It's usually used toward British people. You never thought that's what it said. It's an attitude of the British people, it says. A sign of weakness is a trembling in the upper lip. Hence the saying, keep a stiff upper lip. When a person's upper lip begins to tremble, it's a sign of one of the first signs that the person is scared or experiencing deep emotion. I have no issue with that. I'm not even going to have a trembling lip. I was here. So, you're going to hear this story again. I mean, obviously, there's just so many examples I could use it with. But what can we learn? I have no idea. I just thought it was funny. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for your soul, Israel. Mind, will, and emotions. You're here today, and you've been weary in your soul. We want to share God's presence with you. Maybe need peace. Maybe need rest in your mind. Maybe you've been under turmoil or depression. If I have to stand up here and be a living example of rolling my window up on my lip, we're transparent. Maybe sometimes too transparent. But if you need help, stand up right where you are. If you need prayer for your emotions, your spirit, I mean your mind, your will, or your emotions. Anyone, stand up right now. It's okay. You've been under stress. Whatever the case. Depression, discouragement, turmoil. Those who are around them, I want you to lay hands on them or touch someone who's touching them. Move to somebody who's standing there and touch them right now. We'll pray. Father.
Make sure when we're seeing
a predator from the soul strain of people, depression, discouragement. Lord, we restore our soul. I pray right now, Lord God, the Holy Spirit move upon these, your people, Father.
They're going to kick me out this job.
With the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, the heart and mind. I thank you for the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. To permeate, just to flow out of our spirits, the life of God to these, your people. And bring peace of mind right now. And I thank you, Lord God, they will stand upright on the Word of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and speak the word. I pray for wills. Our wills will align with God's will. Our mind is in the process of being renewed. We'll dedicate ourselves and commit ourselves to that. And our emotions are under the dominion of our spirit. We release this care right now and give it to you. We're carefree. Carefree. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were just praying for, look back at people who are praying for you and say, I am carefree in Jesus' name. Say it. Speak it out. It's a spiritual force. Hallelujah. All right. Have a seat. Have a seat. Mark chapter 5, if you would please. Mark chapter 5. I have an assignment. We're going to accomplish as much of the assignment as we can. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. The woman with the issue of blood. I'm not going to go through the whole story. But she said, when she came, Mark 5, 27, 28. When she came, when she had heard of Jesus, she came. She heard. Everybody say heard.
Heard.
It is again. Hear and see. Hear and see. Hear and see, obey. Hear and see, obey. It's all through the New Testament. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press with the crowd behind her, and she touched the hem of his garment. For she said, everybody say, said.
Yes.
See, she saw him. She heard him. She saw him, and she spoke it out. That's her obedience. Speaking, her obedience was speaking and acting on the word, touching it. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That's what she said. That's what she did. She got results. If you're here today and you need physical healing in your body, stand up on your feet. Go ahead. We're going to pray for you right now. You're going to get prayed for. If you're believing God, if you're standing on the word for physical healing, stand up. You need help. Or you just, maybe you haven't prayed about it. You just need help. All right? Those who are around, why don't you go lay hands on them right now. Joanne, come up here. I want you to lead this prayer. Just touch someone who's touching them or touch them. Joanne's going to lead you.
Father God, your word is simple. It said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sickness can come in all kinds of form. It can come in pain. It can come disease. It can come as an injury. You're no respecter of persons, God. Jesus took stripes on his back for every type of affliction and infirmity. So, Father, as hands are laid on these people, they have their receptors out. They've heard. They see themselves healed, Father. As these hands are laid on them, I thank you they will release their faith and allow the healing power of God to flow through these obedient hands that they will receive. And they will give you all the glory for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, each one of you were healed as you receive. You believe you receive when you're prayed for, when those hands are laid on you. And Father, we just thank you for testimonies of healing in these physical bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How many of the person beside you can say, thank God I was healed? All right, you be seated. Hallelujah. I told you, if you need prayer today, you're going to get prayed for. Spirit, soul, and body. Well, I looked at the soulish realm, I looked at the physical realm. Now let's look at the spiritual realm. Oh God, there's just layers. God, help me. God, what do they need? What do they need right now? Thank you, Lord. What do they need right now? I'll come back to that some other time. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. And you're going to skip quite a bit there. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Spiritually refreshed. Physically refreshed. Soulish refreshed. Now, spiritual. Very simple passage of scripture. You ought to know this scripture. I'm encouraging you. Please learn this scripture and do what you do. From any version, whatever leads you, God leads you. If thou shalt confess with your mouth, it is speaking. The Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, shall be saved. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at the word heart there. And just keep it right there, it's fine, because I know you have another slide that shows something different. Can you find that slide real quick, or not?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, go for it. Someone showed me this one time. We were teaching actually on TV, and they said, look at this. H-E-A-R-T. If you emphasize and capitalize the three letters in the middle of the word heart, what does it spell?
Ear.
The hearing ear. I want to teach on this. This is some good stuff here. But look, notice they said this. I thought this is kind of interesting. The word ear is in the middle of the heart. Just as the hearing ear is in the middle of man. We believe with our heart. We hear. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Eye is not seen. Ear is not heard. It's full. The Bible's full of this now. God, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and you're sitting in this room, God wants to speak to your spiritual ear, which is in your heart. Right? If you do not know Jesus as your Lord, or you're not sure you're going to heaven, you can be sure. Now go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 19. It's so simple. This is not hard. God made it simple. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you speak with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Right? So is there anyone here? You have never asked Jesus in your heart? Or you're not sure if this life were to end right now for you that you'd be going to heaven? Is there anyone? Just put your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you or come to you or call you out or anything. Anybody else? So everybody here is sure they're going to heaven?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. 1 John 1:9. When I look at spiritual matters and spiritual refreshing, there's the issue of forgiveness, of staying in fellowship with God. You ought to know this scripture. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, when we get out of fellowship with God, we still have a relationship with God. He's still our Father. We're still his child. We're just out of fellowship with him. Is there anyone? You do not have to confess your sins to us. You do not have to come up here. You do not have to. We're not going to call you out. Embarrass you or come to you. But is there anyone here? I want to make sure. If there's something that you just need to get right with God, not with us, with God. And I use this scripture a lot. But maybe the Lord's, the Holy Spirit, or rather your spirit, is convicting. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, by the way. But our spirit convicts us of sin. Is there anyone here you need to make sure that fellowship with God is tight? You need to make sure. Raise your hand. Well. Okay, so we're all in fellowship with God. We're all saved. Now, John chapter 14. Then there's one more area of spiritual refreshing that I want to talk about. And that's the Holy Spirit. Are you getting anything today?
Yeah. All
right. Look, the person was poking a little bit saying, stay away. It's good.
Really,
I don't care if you're sleeping in church or not. Smile to me. Really, I don't care because your spirit's good. So I don't. Amen. My spirit doesn't sleep. By the way, don't take the armor off. It sleeps good. Hallelujah. John 14. That's for somebody in here. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Now I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. Amplified says, Counselor. Everybody say Counselor. Helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And he will reign with you forever. The Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, welcome or take into its heart, because it does not know him. Does not see him.
see you. There it is again. Or recognize him. But you don't recognize him because he lives with you constantly and will be in you. He is the teacher. The teacher. John 14:26 says he's the teacher. He's the counselor. He's the standby. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And while being in their company and eating with him, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. If I say wait. For the Father had promised, what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days you shall be baptized or placed in, or introduced into the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you. King James. And when they had spoken or heard these things, while they beheld or saw him, there's believe and see him, he was taken up and the cloud received him. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. You say, why do you want to do this fast? I want you to listen to it. Just draw him. Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. And when they were on the day of Pentecost, isn't that next Sunday? Is that correct soon? Pentecost?
Yeah.
When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they all, and I wrote down here, including Mary. Because in Acts 1:14, she was with them. Somebody says, well, I prayed to Mary. I like what one person said. Well, that's great. I'm sure she'd help you if she could. She's a Holy Ghost-filled tongue talker, and she's in heaven. But I don't pray to Mary. Well, I got four amens. Anybody else? Y'all pray?
Amen.
And suddenly there came a sound. They heard it. In one place, they obeyed. It's waiting. Here's the obey. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared, they saw it, unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at what I put in there. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them by the utterance. They did the talking. Are you listening to me? Joe Soleil really helped me on this because he just said it was almost like he said, I thought I was going to make it up, but it just kind of came out. He just made it up. And I looked at one friend and I said, did you make that up? I said, I guess. But it just came out. Amplified says, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression. I want to read you something from the co-laborant class of NTCF. You know, Scott Mills could have been a lawyer in his other life if he read this. Holy Spirit baptism. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hear an amen.
Amen.
It's described in the book of Acts, and he gives the scriptures. It is the seal of the new covenant relationship, and speaking in other tongues is one sign of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the real evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the person's response to the Word of God. Also, a Christ-like life, showing forth Christ's character, nature, and experiencing and manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. One sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues. Some people say it's an initial sign. Some people say it's a gateway to the supernatural. But let me share something with you. Smith Wigglesworth, I found the whole quote and lost it in my study the other day. But he started out by saying this quote, every Pentecostal person ought to get out of bed in the morning. No Pentecostal person ought to get out of bed in the morning without being lost in the Spirit. Most of the time I'm lost in the flesh when I get out of bed because I'm trying to find the floor. But he said, pray. In other words, pray in the Spirit. There is no substitute for praying in the Spirit. Thank God there's no condemnation if you don't, but praise God you get to.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, somebody says, well, I thought I got the Holy Spirit when I got born again. Okay, yes, you did. But look, Acts 8, verse 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. Everybody say Christ.
Christ
unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing. There it is again. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many of them that were possessed, and many taken with palsies, they were lame, they were healed. And great joy was in that city. Joy is a fruit of the what? Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a fruit of the recreated human spirit. Don't have time to go there. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who would ever come down, pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. What is it? The Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then Simon saw what was being done, and he wanted to buy it, of course. Acts chapter 10, are you with me? This is the book of Acts, a little longer than it took Dan to do it. I'll never forget that message. Acts 10, 44 through 46. While Peter yet spake these words, he's preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost fell. On all them that heard, I say heard. There it is again. The word of them, they and the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came to Peter, for they that were Gentiles also poured out the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When you speak with tongues, you can magnify God. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Acts chapter 19, verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So they believed and were saved, but he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Skip down to verse 6. And when Paul laid hands on, verse 5. And when they heard this, they laid their hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, supernatural things can happen. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, be ready for what God has for you. Oh, I like that. I'm glad that's recorded. I see it's simple, but it's good. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. King James. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That, we know in the original language, it also means be being, or continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not just one filling, but many. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love the way Pastor Scott illustrates this. He said, when somebody gets drunk, they sing all sorts of stuff. They do all sorts of things. Inhibitions are gone. They let down their pride. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Now I want to show you something very simple about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Some of you have been prayed for. You've been prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues. You get to. My brother Hagin used to say, why would you buy a shoe without the tongue? Not a simple way of looking at it, is it? Unless you're wearing sandals. I thought about this. They began to speak with their tongues. Everybody say that. They began to speak.
They began to speak.
With other tongues.
With other tongues.
When I'm going to talk, unless my lips are caught in a car window, I do several things. I make sound. Everybody say, ah.
Ah.
Ah. That's the sound. All right? I'm talking. I've got to say I make sound. Somebody says, he's teaching us how to talk in tongues. No, I'm not. I'm good. Please. I like being part of this church, don't I? I make a sound, ah. Okay. I use my tongue. Everybody say tongue. So if I'm going to add, you may say, this is crazy. Why are you doing this? I've never done this way. I'm going to say, ah, but if I'm going to make a sound, I'm going to go, la. Now I'm using my tongue, right? You may say, this is so silly. It's okay. It's okay. I've prayed for hundreds of people to be filled with Spirit and speaking in tongues, and this is the part that gets them right here. You're trying to figure out your head. I talked to Les about this. He said, it's just yielding.
Right.
It's just surrendering.
It's 12 o'clock.
Okay. So I'm using my sound, ah. I'm using my tongue, bah. I'm using my lips. I can actually use both of them today, thank God. Ma, la. These are crazy syllables. Right? But they're syllables. I form words from syllables, and from sound, and from my tongue, and from my lips. Then I also have to move my mouth muscles, right? Everybody smile. I frown. It took less muscles to smile. You didn't frown. So, then I need diction or expression. So if you are teaching, I mean, babies have no problem with this. Why do we? They say all sorts of stuff. I just sometimes wonder, are they really communicating with God? Are they mimicking what they hear? I've had people try to pray in tongues and speak in tongues and say, oh, we're going to speak in tongues. I'm just going to do what you do. You don't have to do that. There are different kinds of tongues, which I don't have time to get into today. But there's a tongues, the gift of tongues we talk about, when the gifts of the Spirit goes along with the gift of interpretation of tongues. Are you listening to me? That's in a public setting. So I said, well, I just haven't gotten the gift. Well, maybe you don't operate with that gift. But God said, in the book of Acts, they began to speak with other tongues when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, they weren't talking necessarily out. Now, they did go out in the street. They ministered in languages that people could understand. And then there's a prayer language. Well, I'm just praying, I'm talking to God, I'm communing with God. I'm worshiping God. I can sing in the Spirit. I did this morning. I hope some of y'all did. So when someone lays hands on you, or they don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yield to surrender to what God wants. But know that when you are going to be prayed for, that you will speak in tongues. You will be filled, and you will speak in tongues. As the Spirit gives the prompting, as the Spirit gives the words, the utterance. Now, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, are you enjoying this or not? I know it's, just hang with me for a minute. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I've given my testimony several times. I had a supernatural visitation of God the night before. The Holy Spirit hovered over me in the bed, and I was pinned to the bed like Scott was pinned before. I could not get off the bed. I was in Athens, Greece, and the night before I would leave to come home on a tour, and without the detail, And I'm trying to pick my hand up, and I couldn't get my hand off, and God spoke to me. I don't know if you could have heard it in the room or not, but I heard it. The next morning, the basic idea of that was you need more. You need more. I want all God has for me. Okay? So the next morning, I'm in the hotel lobby, and a little lady comes over, and she lays hands on me, backs up, walks back, and she looks at my mother. She was from this is a long time ago. She was from the South, and she being a black lady, and my mother being a white lady, she looked at my mother, and she said, is it okay? And she was a pastor's wife. Give me a break. Racism does not belong in the body of Christ. But she looked, but she was respectful, and she didn't know how my mother would react. She said, would it be okay if I prayed for him? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. My mother, I did not know what was going on, but I can tell you this. When I glanced over and saw my mother smiling, some of you people have been praying a long time for people. Don't give up. I thought my mother was going to have a Holy Ghost conniption fit right there in the hotel lobby. The lady comes back over, and instead of laying hands on my back, she lays hands on my ankles and my feet. And when she does, she says, Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost. At that point in time, whether you feel something or not, it really doesn't matter. But it felt like somebody took heat, and literally, my legs were on fire. It came up, and when it got to here, I opened my mouth, and I almost said, Yogi Bear. I was going to say. I thought, this doesn't make me. It came out from an economy. I thought, what is that? And she said, go ahead. She just started saying, just praying. I mean, she started praying in the Spirit. She started praying. She said, go ahead, just speak that out, Bert. Just speak that out. So I said, okay. It was like somebody took a basketball and threw it in my face. Whoa. From an economy. Somebody had a hand. I just started worshiping God fluently. My mother-in-law, godmother, prayed for her, and she got one phrase, Suli Bikuri. She said, what does that mean? I said, I have no idea. Pray that you may interpret. She said, what do I do? That's all I got. I said, just go around and say that. And 2 weeks later, she calls me on the phone. Guess what? I got a law, I got a whole language. She acted on her faith. So do you not act on her faith? I want to pray for you now. Whether you speak other tongues or not, but you need to refill it, refuel it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you. But if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the sign of speaking in tongues, we don't seek signs and wonders. We seek Jesus. We seek God first. But if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, refilled with the Holy Spirit, and if you would like to be prayed for to receive a prayer language or tongues, and you know it's going to happen when you come up here, no doubt. And you're going to use sound, your tongue, your lips, your mouth muscles, your diction, and you're going to step out in faith. For any of those, then I want you to go to the side walls right now, or they're right in front of the platform over here. The usher's going to help you. If there's anyone here, you want to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, be being filled with the Holy Spirit right now, or you want your prayer language, you want whatever from God about the Holy Spirit, come over here and pray for you. Is there anyone at all? Over here. Anyone else? We have one. That's fine. You stay right there. Anybody else? Joanne, will you come join me? Please.
Sleeping and awake for the whole night, it feels like somebody's choking me. And I think that's been some of the problem. Last night, I've been praying and I came here with expectations things are going to happen today. And I fell asleep and I woke up and I had this pain. I had this dream, and in the dream, I had this pain. And it took me to the floor. And I was right here and I'm like, okay, is my appendix bursting or what? And all of a sudden, all of this just demons. I saw their faces coming out and just exhaling, and I started at the bottom of my feet and came all the way up to the top of my head. And I said, Lord, Jesus Christ, you are my Savior, my grace, my glory, and lead me now. We're now welcome here. And it just gives me chills thinking about it. But I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. So I'm here, I have expectations, and I will speak in tongues today.
How are you? Why not? Hallelujah. Stand right here. Face this way. Last one, come up right here. Oh, that's up here. Right. Anybody else? If you desire to be refilled, you need a shot of Zoe. I know a lot of us got that last week. But if you need that this week, the Holy Spirit's power is here. Where you in the congregation can pray. If you know how to listen, this is what Pastor Scott wants you to teach you. If you're out there, this is not an observation sport. Okay? You're a part of this. You pray in the Spirit if you can, pray in English if you can. Apply your faith right now.
Her word, I'm smart too.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll pray over something? You'll pray over something?
Some more.
This one wants to be refilled. Why not? You're not wasting that. There's nothing else to tell you. Hallelujah. Now we're getting praying. Hallelujah to the land. Hallelujah to the land. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Was this just a big blessing club? No, no, no. God's trying to do something.
Now we're merging on
here. He's trying to get us cut loose here. Are you listening to us? Because we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the land. Hallelujah to the land. There's anointing right there. See that. See that. Fill her up to overflowing, Lord. Precious Lord.
I've got so much stuff
to do. Yes, you're precious. Pray, Donnie. Just start praying in tongues. Start singing in tongues. Thank you, Lord God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Casey? I was teaching you about the Holy Spirit because you need to be ministering this to people. We know how to minister healing, salvation to people. What about the Holy Spirit? What about somebody being filled with the Spirit? You saw how simple that is to do. You can lay hands on them. Hallelujah. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need the two of you to come up. Would you mind me ministering to the two of you? Where? Would you mind me ministering to you? Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Father. Just stand right here if you would, please. Hallelujah. Somebody come up and pray for them behind me. Here, come on. Hallelujah. Showed their head a lot of mouth. Thank you, Father. I just saw this in my spirit. I saw it in my spirit when you first the service. And I don't, you're an engineer. I mean, you're mechanical. You understand this. I don't know what this is. And somebody else can tell me what it is. But I saw it's like, look at me, Daniel. So if I were making the X sideways like this, but it literally curved around, I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is? Infinity. Oh, really? Okay, that's what I saw. So, calculations shall be occurring within your mind. But I'm not calling you to that, either one of you to that. I'm not calling you to the calculations of your mind. I'm calling you to the understanding of the heart. And as you listen, it will move beyond your thinking. No. Walls shall jump up in front of you, but you shall, instead of walking into them, you shall walk over them. It's time, said the Spirit of God, it's time to correct that which has tried to be broken. It's time to correct that which has tried to be bent. It's time to correct that which has tried to occur with in a realm of rubbing.
It's still recording.
No, the friction must leave.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for ministry. Now lay hands on me. Thank you for ministry to my sister. In Jesus' name.